This evening, our topic that we're looking at is Your Testimony, a Light to the World. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what does it mean, our testimony? Your testimony, what is it? Well, if you look up the definition, it's something along the lines of evidence or proof in support of a fact. So our testimony, our life is evidence or proof for something. It's evidence and proof for, or what are you evidence and proof for? What is your life evidence or proof for? All of us, our life, our testimony is proof of something. Proof of God's work. Or proof that we're not a child of God. All of our life shows, all of us, our life shows something. It tells other people something. It proves something to other people, the way we live, the way we talk. So I want us to think about that this evening. How is our life a light to the world? Evidence or proof to the world of who God is. Now, before we talk about this more, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we can look into this some more. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, you have done so many good things for us as individuals, as a church, as your children. And Lord, I pray that our lives will be a good testimony for others to see your work in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would use your word in our hearts. Lord, you know the deepest needs that we have. I pray that you would challenge us, encourage us, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in our hearts. I pray that you would help me as I speak your word, that you would give me wisdom, that you would guide my mouth, and the most of all, that you would be big in our hearts and minds this evening. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we probably all know the story of Adam and Eve, how God made Adam and Eve. And when God made Adam and Eve, the Bible says that God made them in his image. He made them in his image to have a relationship with them. And one of the things that Elizabeth sometimes tells our kids when she's talking to them about this, she says that she's good at putting things in simple language for children. And she says, you're made as a little picture of God. And that's what God did when he made Adam and Eve. They're a little picture They were a little picture of him. They weren't God. They weren't everything that God has. They were a little picture, representation of God. And they bore the characteristics of God in their lives until they made the decision to not believe what God had told them and believe what Satan had told them and disobey and rebel against God. And as soon as Adam and Eve disobeyed, as soon as they'd rebelled against God, what kind of characteristics do you see in their lives, beginning with their sin? They aren't showing godly characteristics, are they? Deception, blame shifting, shame. All of a sudden, they have other characteristics that are not godly characteristics in their lives. They're characteristics of Satan, God's enemy. And as descendants of Adam and Eve, when we were born, all of us, when we were born with that sin nature, weren't we? When we were born, we had those ungodly characteristics because we were born as children of Satan. And sometimes in Papua New Guinea, I just tell them, you know, there's only two families. There's God's family and Satan's family. And when we're born into Satan's family with those ungodly characteristics. But when a person is saved, what happens? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Okay, so when someone is saved, they go from Satan's family, right, to God's family, and they're a new creation. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. There's a change to become part of God's family. And as a child of God, we are to be reflecting or showing godly characteristics. All of us have characteristics of our earthly fathers. I was just, not to pick on Pastor Marshall, but I'm sure the others of you have noticed, Pastor Marshall is his dad's son when he's up here preaching, isn't he? And, I mean, some of you guys know my parents too, and you say, well, Jeff is his dad's son. We have characteristics of our earthly parents, right? As spiritual children of God, we have characteristics of God in our lives. And God is the light that his children should be reflecting. All right? God is the light that we should be reflecting. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. This is one of those I am statements that Jesus made. John 8, 12. And Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have life. Okay? So Jesus is the light of the world. And those who follow him will be walking in light. We're not our own light. A very simple illustration, but I think it makes the point, is the moon. The moon is not its own light. It's reflecting the sun. We are not our own light. We are reflecting God's light. And really, apart from God, we have no goodness to reflect, or no goodness at all, apart from God. Think about in Isaiah, what does it say? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You read in Romans chapter 3, and it makes it really, really clear that all of us are sinners. There's none righteous. We have no light in ourselves. We are simply to be reflecting God's light. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is in this passage, the Apostle Paul was encouraging the Philippian believers to work out their own salvation, or live out their salvation. And in verse 14, he says, "Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We should be reflections of God's character in the middle of the world. Not to be part of the world, but reflections in the world. Reflections of God's light in the world. Reflections of God's character in the middle of the world. We're not to be reflections of the world. We live in the world. We have unsaved people around us. We should. So that we can be reflecting God's light to them. But we are not part of the world. We should not be reflecting the world. That's something I want to really encourage us, because I know that it's so easy to gradually follow the world, isn't it? We have to be intentional and deliberate in our lives that we are not going to gradually get closer to the world. And it's so easy to think in our own minds, well, it's okay if I do that. Yeah, it's probably not the best thing for me to be doing, but it's okay. I can still be a Christian and do that. And then before long, we see something else and, well, you know, I can still be a good Christian and do that. And all the time, we're moving closer and closer and closer to the world. We have to really guard against that, don't we? And really, as I was thinking about this, I was really thinking it's a lot harder for you guys. In Papua New Guinea, we're living in a very ungodly culture, but no matter how much we try and we do work really hard to understand their culture and to be part of them, to be able to give the gospel to them, but we're still outsiders. And in a sense, we're living, we kind of have a little bubble that we live in where we can kind of have our own culture in a sense. But it's a lot harder here where you guys are, because you guys are bombarded every day and sometimes every hour of every day by all kinds of worldliness. And it's hard. And we have to be really, really deliberate and intentional that we don't become reflections of the world. As God's children, we reflect His character for others to see. Okay, so we're supposed to be reflecting God's light, and we are supposed to be reflecting His character for others to see. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works." As God's children, we reflect His character for others to see. And when Jesus was telling His disciples this, He used two examples. First, he said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you have a hill and a city or something large up on top of that hill, you can't hide it. I remember as a teenager camping up in the mountains in North Carolina, and I don't even remember the name of the place, but some of you probably know, one of the mountains up there, there's a big, I think it's a hotel, maybe part of a ski resort or something, that's like right on top of a mountain. And you can be miles and miles away from there, looking at the mountains, and there's this big, huge building sticking out like a sore thumb on top of that mountain. And you can't hide it. It's there. Everybody who's anywhere nearby can see it. And Jesus was telling His disciples, be like a city on a hill that others can see. It doesn't mean that we need to be strange or odd or weird, but as children of God, we're going to be different, aren't we? What we are reflecting is going to be different than what the world is reflecting. The world is going to be reflecting their father, Satan. But we are to be reflecting characteristics of our Father, God. And He also says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That would just be crazy. To light a lamp. In Bible days, they would have used some kind of oil lamp when it was dark in their house. But they wouldn't light a lamp and cover it up. That would just be crazy to do that. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. As believers, we shouldn't be covering up the fact that we're believers. We shouldn't be hiding the fact that we're believers. We should be reflecting God's character for others to see. And usually, when we do good things for others to see, who do we want to receive the glory? Yeah, us. isn't it? Most of the time we're thinking about ourselves. Hey, look at all this good stuff that I've done. Look, look, look. And we're trying to get the glory for ourselves, right? That's usually what we're doing. But look at the end of verse 16. Or I'll start at the beginning. He said, in the same way, talking about putting a lamp in the house for everybody to see, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So others will glorify God when we reflect His character. We're not to be reflecting God's character for our glory, so that others can look at us and say, wow, look at him, he's good. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We are to be reflecting God's character for God to be glorified. When we reflect his character, others will glorify God. Why do we want God to receive the glory? Well, if someone does something to help you, if you have a situation where you just really, really need someone to help you, there's no way you can help yourself, and someone comes along and helps you, what do you want to do for them? You want to honor them, right? And when you're talking to other people about that person, you're going to talk good about them, aren't you? You're going to honor them because of how they helped you. So we want God to receive glory because of what He has done for us. What has God done for us? I just want to read a couple verses. I know that we all know, but sometimes it just helps to stop and think about it, remind ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were God's enemies rebelling against him, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Really, really amazing to think about. How God helped us even though we were His enemies. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite verses. For our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might have the righteousness of God. God made his son sin. He put our sin on his son so that we could have the righteousness of God. That's so amazing that I don't even think I can wrap my brain around that. What God did for us. And it makes it even more amazing in my mind when I think about how I often want to treat my enemies or people that don't like me or whatever. People that I have a hard time getting along with or something, I'm usually not finding ways to try and help them. At least my natural man doesn't want to do that, does he? And that makes it even more amazing to think about what God did for us. To think about, man, if I was in God's shoes, I surely wouldn't have done that. But God gave his son for us. It's just absolutely mind-boggling, amazing to think about. So we're supposed to be reflections of God. Reflections of what God has done for us. For others to see and glorify God. Let's go out and be bright reflections of God's goodness. Because God has been amazingly good to all of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you choose to use us to reflect your light to the world. Lord, we're certainly not worthy. We're so weak and incapable in ourselves, but we thank you that with your help, by your strength, we are able to. And I pray that we would be faithful reflections of your light to the unsaved people around us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.